Your Money Briefing. Money and Market Stories from the Wall Street Journal.
I'm J.R. Whalen in New York. Thursday's NFL draft will feature the nation's top college football players moving on to the pros, and in some cases collecting millions in salary, endorsements, and signing bonuses. But where does personal finance know-how come into play? We'll discuss in a moment. First, these money headlines. New, more limited health plans may draw consumers away from Affordable Care Act coverage and drive up prices on insurance sold in the health law's marketplaces. These so-called skinny plans offer lower premiums, making them an attractive alternative for young, healthy buyers. The Wall Street Journal Health and Video Desks explain these plans can be loaded with restrictions. Often people who aren't healthy are blocked from buying them, and many don't cover prescription drugs or pre-existing conditions. And some cap coverage, doing away with Obamacare requirements and potentially leaving buyers with big bills if they get sick. And consumers are the winners so far in the competition between consumer staple companies and online giant Amazon. But for every winner, there's a loser. While companies like Kimberly-Clark and Procter & Gamble have held prices on items like diapers and detergent in check to compete with Amazon, the companies themselves are missing out on an influx of cash from Wall Street investors who are concerned about pressure on profits. This is your Money Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Is your 401k on track? Bloom, with three O's, is the simple and smart way to grow your 401k. Go online to bloom401k.com to get your truly free 401k audit. Simply grab your employer-held 401k account login info, and in a matter of minutes, Bloom performs an unbiased analysis of your 401k right before your eyes, showing you the best fund mix to meet your goals while minimizing investment fees. Bloom does all the work for you. The hardest part for you is remembering there are three O's in Bloom. Enter promo code WSJ for your first month free. Visit Bloom401k.com and try it for free now.
Welcome back, everybody. The minimum base salary for NFL rookies is $480,000, and for the highest profile players likely to be chosen early in the first round of this year's draft, that'll be small potatoes when stacked against a windfall from endorsements likely to pour in. But many athletes, whether rookies or more seasoned, lack money management skills in the face of such an onslaught of cash. Jordan Waxman is managing partner of Hightower's Sports and Entertainment Division and has some insight into this. So, Jordan, we see professional athletes with an entourage around them, and we assume somebody in that group would be adept at managing money, if the player's not. But that's not always the case.
No, that's exactly right. Most athletes are terrific at what they do. They focus on the next workout, they focus on the next game, the next season. And taking care of their own finances is not what they do well. Likewise, most professionals, CEOs, entrepreneurs focus on their business as well, and they need good advice as well. But athletes in particular they need skills. They need help.
So let's look at a few of the likely top picks in this year's draft. There's quarterback Sam Darnold and running back Saquon Barkley. Now, for all we know, they could be very versed in managing money and investing, but what advice do you give athletes in their positions where they're about to face a windfall and maybe the most money they've ever had to handle in their lives?
Well, I'll take a step back. We help clients who are professional athletes and entertainers manage their wealth through the arc of their career. And it's really four phases. The initial phase that you're talking about, the second phase, which is sort of the second contract. The third is the peak earnings and endorsements. And the fourth is retirement. The first three phases last a very short period of time for most. And then the retirement is the longest. But the things that they need in these different phases are completely different. In fact, they're modular and they get more sophisticated as you go forward. In the first contract for the top players that you're talking about, whether they get guarantees that are substantial or not, they need to focus on the basics, which are, an income statement, a balance sheet. So focus on their budgets, taking care of managing their expenses, and be very, very conservative in their investments, thinking that the next game could be their last.
So in addition to the salary, the minimum $480,000 salary, they could get a multi-million dollar signing bonus, which doesn't count against their salary. It's more or less an additional source of revenue, and there could be endorsements there also. Just to make it clear to the listeners that there could be several income streams for these athletes.
There could, and football in particular has those attributes because injuries are so prevalent in the sport. For most other sports, your career can last 15, 20 years. Hockey, basketball, baseball, those tend to be longer careers. Football can be very short.
You know, you've pointed out that one of the major factors that many athletes don't consider is taxes when they're deciding what to do with all this money at the start of their career, when they get the rookie contract, and then at various points along the arc of their career. And a lot of times, not only do they not consider taxes, but various different kinds of taxes they have to consider.
Taxes, we tell our professional athletes, are like holes in a rowboat. You can go pretty far into the middle of the lake with a few holes, but the more that you have and the farther that you go, the greater the likelihood you get sunk. So many sports have a short season, football in particular, and the athletes get paid either semi-monthly or monthly or weekly over that short span of time. They need to make that money last for the entire year. So budgeting is critical. Then there's income taxes. Then there are withholding taxes in the other states where they play. So having a good accountant is important. Many of these athletes, it's the first time that they have money, first time their families have money, and they want to give expensive gifts to their friends, their entourages, their family, and they forget that there are gift taxes above $15,000 per year per beneficiary. So all these things add up. Estate taxes, all these taxes that can be the athletes can be sensitized to, and then you can plan for going forward.
This is all very good advice for all of us investing and trying to manage our money who are not in line for millions of dollars. This applies to almost anybody.
The old adage, it's not what you make, it's what you keep that matters, is critical to everyone. So the NFL has great matching programs for 401ks. Because the careers are so short, they really load up the client's retirement accounts. 529 plans, insurance policies, all those things are the government basically saying, we're going to give you an interest-free loan. So all the investors, not just the professional athletes, can take advantage of ways to compound their money in a more tax-sensitive environment, like retirement plans and 529s, insurance policies, annuities, things like that. Professional athletes have to make use of all of them. And for the average investor, yes, having tax-insensitive assets in retirement accounts and having tax-sensitive assets in personal name, that's really 101 investing.
And having worked with athletes, a lot of them young and a lot of them at the start of their career, I'm sure that you have seen haphazard ways they have dealt with money and how they have invested or not invested. I'm sure you have seen all kinds of stories that might make people's skin crawl.
Well, we're in front of a very, very well-known entertainer now who is sitting on all cash. Not a bad thing when you have as much as he does. And then we've had other relationships with clients where they are spending the money like drunken sailors, and we have to rein in their spending. They have homes in every state that they play their sport. Even though there's a great likelihood that they get traded, they keep buying real estate, which has a lot of friction costs in it and maintenance costs and things like that. The thing about athletes that very good planners should take care of, note of, same thing with entertainers, is they have bullseyes on their back. There are people that want to take advantage of athletes and entertainers. So asset protection is critical. Prenuptial arrangements are critical. We make sure that all of our athletes and entertainers not only have prenuptial agreements, but that they're videotaped.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, yes, absolutely, because then the other spouse cannot claim that there was coercion. If you have a videotape and you see it's a very calm environment where the prenup was taken, the contract was written. Some family lawyers do three prenuptial sessions to make sure that the same thing.
So love is love, but get a video record of it.
You know, there are so many stories of very wealthy athletes who don't sign prenups and end up signing them. There's a very famous golfer, won't mention his name, who had to sign over $100 million to an ex-wife, didn't have any prenuptial agreement at all, and then did it again.
And, you know, outside the prenuptial idea, it's not uncommon to hear of athletes have multi-million dollars in earnings and they go bankrupt. And what a lesson for all of us here on the outside of that magic land to see the mistakes made along the way.
More than you know. There's a famous boxer who made over $500 million in his career, but he had a 35-bedroom house, you know, and a swimming pool that was made for, you know, SeaWorld. The same folks who are overspending, who are investing in fly-by-night investments, or they have their agent as their money manager, or their father or mother is a money manager, are also not watching how many Netflix accounts they're carrying. There was one pretty well-known football player who didn't have that much money in his career and ended up looking at his finances a few years ago and noticing he had 11 Netflix and 8 Hulu accounts.
Oh, my goodness.
These are all the people that you're carrying on your payroll, basically. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. you know, they're all, you know, there's 101, 201, 301. We managed through the arc of the career. We're now in front of clients who've had $100 million and now they're down to their last 3 or 5 or 10. And then others who are just sitting on cash and just don't know what to do and need all kinds of advice, and others who listen to us. We got into this business because we gave some advice to a player who didn't listen, and he ended up dying in a plane crash. And I had to settle the family's estate in 4 different jurisdictions and then settle an offshore trust. And it took a long time while the wife was grieving. And I said, you know, never again. We're going to make sure that everyone is aware of the best practices. They listen to us, and if they don't listen to us, we just fire them as a client.
Well, for consumers and investors out here in the real world, we may not be signing $40, $50 million contracts, but we will be handling money really where our real estate and our kids' college education is levered to our ability to manage it. So there's some very good lessons here. Jordan Waxman from Hightower Sports and Entertainment Division, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.
The Wall Street Journal invites you to attend our first ever Future of Everything Festival, taking place May 8th through the 10th in New York City. To learn more and buy tickets, visit us at foefestival.wsj.com. Get a special offer of $100 off on tickets using promo code FOEF100.